So notice how they're standing. I like how they're standing tall. Okay, Daniel 7. Then Luke 18. So Daniel 7 first. Okay, Daniel is the parallel of Revelation. It's a prophetic book. And Daniel 7, about verse 17 and following, 18, 19, he's describing some things that the Antichrist will do. And Daniel 7, verse 21. He says, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Okay, so that's obviously millennium. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of the kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Okay, a time, 1 year, times 2 years, dividing of time, three or a half a year, so 3.5 years, describing what the Antichrist intends to do in verse 25. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this and help us recognize the pressure that's being placed upon not only the world, but the church is not going to decrease. It's going to increase. And help us to be better soldiers of Christ, stronger as a result of it, by choosing the right thing to be strong rather than to faint. And help us to be good soldiers of thee, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel 7, the Antichrist, notice he's going to wear out the saints. Okay, now if you would, go to Luke chapter 18. Last week I went through a contrast that the believer can be either a a servant of sin or a slave of sin or a conqueror over sin. And the choice was between being a failure or a success. Today, the choice is really fainting or praying in Luke chapter 18. Fainting or praying. I touched on this a little bit on Thursday night as we're going verse by verse. But the word faint in the Bible, faint-hearted, doesn't mean just to lose consciousness or pass out. Fainting means discouraged, quitting, depressed, stressed out, tired, afraid, fearful. It includes a lot of things. But Satan in the world is going to continue putting the pressure on the world and believers at whole. Okay, and so it's not going to let up. So if you feel like you're getting under the circumstances, get under stress, I've got real encouraging news. It's going to get worse. And that's just the idea that you have to know, you have to recognize. It's like sports. All the sports, when they get in a game, there's pressure put on them by opponents back and forth. And the better athletes will face more pressure than the other athletes. Okay, double team, triple teamed, or whatever. And the world is getting pressure put on them, just good, common, ordinary people who aren't saved, getting pressure put on them to comply with political correctness. And believers, you and I are getting more and more pressure put on us. Okay, and so the idea is we need to recognize this. And so the temptation is to try to get rid of the pressure and quit. get tired, faint, okay, get out of the work or whatever. Now, this pressure is not going to quit. It's going to be continuous, and maybe things are going well for you right now, so maybe this is like that medication that's time-released. So when you get discouraged, hopefully this will kick in. Pressure from the media. Media meaning medium, meaning news industry or Hollywood. Okay, I don't care, even if you get rid of your TV, get rid of your computer, there's still pressure put on you. Pressure put on by education, okay, be it public, especially public education. Pressure that is put on young people in a public school is just amazing. The pressure that's put on by carnal people or your job, people on a job or the radio or your family. Or friends, maybe they don't have bad intentions, but they're putting pressure on you because they're pressured by government agents, and so forth. Just life in general. In Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." So the idea of fainting. And even if you don't see the pressure directly, I guarantee it's indirect through spirits. Everywhere you go, the music of the world is being played. And maybe, especially us men, we can get on our nothing box and our nothing brain and just thinking we're ignoring everything. But spirits are influencing us by the music. And so a lot of Americans don't realize this, but life is not meant to be easy. Life is meant to be a struggle since Genesis chapter 3. That's what it's meant to be. Life in this world is not fair. And it specifically is not fair for the believer. And so if a person just gets that, that helps us to, shall we say, cope with these things. But the thing is that when you're faint-hearted, good rule of thumb is when you're faint-hearted, discouraged, stressed, don't make a big decision. Don't make a major change because often it's bad. An example in the Bible, Esau was out working, came back in from a big day's work, was totally tired, exhausted, faint. He says that he was faint. That's the word that was used. And he was hungry, and Jake had a can of beans on the pot there. And he says, "I want some of that." And Jake, of course, you know, being a typical Jew, he's not going to give you something for nothing. I said, "Well, what are you going to pay me for it? How about your birthright?" And Esau made a bad decision. That birthright was a big deal. Big, big deal. Now, I don't know if later on in life, if he regretted that decision, but once he made that decision when he was faint, he couldn't go back on it. And so, like they say, don't buy a car when you've got the car bug. Okay, that's kind of the rule of thumb. But when you're faint-hearted, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, when you feel stressed, that's not the time to make changes, major changes. Just plow through it. Plow through it. Be like an oxen. When oxen are pulling a yoke, if they get through a very tough part of the ground where it's a tough plow pan or whatnot, you know how oxen pull the yoke, the plow? They get on their knees and they pull that way. Okay, if you would, look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, I read this on Thursday night. We'll go verse by verse, and it says this, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So evidently the choice there is that we can faint, quit, get discouraged, depressed, become afraid, fearful, back off, not do anything, or pray. That's the choice. And really the choice is ours. Because the Lord has already promised that our help is in Him. Now, He gives an illustration of praying. In fact, this entire chapter is about prayer. And in verse 2, it gives a widow woman's prayer of bugging a judge to get justice. And she's just bugging him and bugging him and bugging him and bothering him and wearing him out. And that's really how we should be praying. Now, if you drop to the end of the chapter, if you just kind of skim down, there's a blind guy, and he's begging, asking for help. And there was a commotion going on because Jesus Christ was coming by. And this blind guy said, "What's going on?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth is going by." And you know what he did? He started yelling and screaming, begging for mercy. He was praying. You see, there's a common saying that God helps those that help themselves. Now, that saying doesn't mean that, you know, a guy helps himself to steal somebody's property and God helps him. There is a general truth in that, what if the blind man just sat there and did nothing? Jesus Christ would have walked right on by. And a lot of times Jesus Christ walked right on by our problems, our issues, because we're not crying out. And you know, this is the thing about as far as helping people in the work and everything is, there's got to be an effort on our part. Sometime. Okay, now down at Rensselaer, we pick up some kids that are in pretty rough homes, and we are giving, 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 giving. I mean, we're paying for the gas, the van, we're giving them snacks, we're giving, 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 giving. Now, if those kids grow up to be adults, that's when it stops, man. You got to let your hand off the bicycle sometime. They've got to learn to work on their own. Now, Americans are getting soft, so soft that they're expecting, you need to help me out. You need to help yourself a lot of times. A lot of guys in jails would ask me, when I was visiting them guys, they'd say, "Would you pray for me?" And I say, "What for? Did you pray for yourself?" Yeah, you got to pray for yourself. But the general rule of thumb with the Lord is that we got to continue instant in prayer. We got to do our part of praying. Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What if we quit praying? Now, when I say praying, I'm not meaning just your time, if you have some time that you pray in your closet or whatnot. I'm saying throughout the day, talk to God. You got a major issue going on, bother Him throughout the day. I mean, anytime, any place, just speak up to God, pray, give it to Him. And you see, we have to do our part. The Lord gives us salvation full and free by faith, but there's some work. We are His workmanship after that. And so there's got to be some effort on other people's part or our part with the Lord. So the choice in Luke 18 is a matter of a choice between us praying or us fainting. Another place, if you would look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, second, while you're turning there, Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And then Proverbs 24, 5 says, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength." So in 2 Corinthians, it says this, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Now, what ministry is he talking about? If you look in the context, chapter 3, verse 17, 3:18, and then chapter 4, verse 2, you'll see that the context is your personal ministry of reading the Bible yourself. And what is that? That is like taking your cell phone and charging it in. When you get in the Bible yourself, you're taking yourself and plugging in to the energy that God is willing to give. The effort has to be our part of getting in the Bible itself. Now, the Bible is like water, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And if you look at the physical aspect, Americans don't drink enough water. Now, I say water, I'm saying pure water, good water. Okay, not the fluoride, chlorine, tap water out of the, you know, this all that stuff. Get good, you know, either rainwater and then, filter it out or add some distilled with a little minerals in there or something like that. But it's got to be good water. But you see, if we're a person physically is dehydrated, you get discouraged just because of that issue. You get discouraged, very much so. A person should act, and when I say water, I'm not saying pop, lemonade, tea, coffee. I'm saying H2O. I mean, become a water dog if you have to. Okay, how much should a person drink? I mean, you take your body weight, convert it to ounces, cut it in half, and that's how much. If you weigh 200 pounds, 100 ounces of water is what you should drink daily. Right off at bat in the morning, boom, a pint or a quart is a good thing. I mean, that's a healthy thing for your body, because when you get dehydrated, it is not only a physical tiredness, it becomes a spiritual or mental tiredness. And we'll give one side note. Do you know where your body steals its water from if you don't drink enough water? From your small intestine. Everyone know why? Ooh. That's where your body steals it from. And so the thing is we need to drink water physically, but we also need to drink water spiritually. The Word of God. And then sweat it through. Have an exercise or something to keep the blood flowing. If the blood doesn't keep flowing in our physical body, we begin to have problems. And if the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't keep flowing in our spiritual lives, then we're going to have problems. People get discouraged. There's something to do about exercising that is a helpful thing. So, lack of Bible. The choice is personally getting the Bible ourselves or feigning. If you would, look at Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. In verse 3 in particular. Hebrews 12. Now, this is obviously, these passages are generally written to Jews going through the tribulation time period. But still, there's some good advice for us. Hebrews 12, verse 3. It says this, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Consider who? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. The choice is ours. We could focus on our problems or on ourself, or we could look at Jesus Christ. We can get our eyes off of ourselves and then get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we fail to see the goodness of God throughout our lives, at the moment we got saved until today, when we fail to see what God has done for us, then we get selfish and look inward. And, you know, if God saves a sinner, the sinner's in the ditch, and if God saves a sinner and throws him back in a ditch and leaves him there, he still gave him a great benefit. But the Lord has kept us a perfect Bible. He's kept us secure in Christ. I mean, he's kept us, some of us around some believers that will try to encourage us to follow the Lord. When we take our eyes off the Lord, when we have no vision of the Lord, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we got to look to Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, we can't see him physically. But we have four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's 89 chapters. If you read one a day, if you walk with Jesus Christ one chapter a day, just one chapter a day, you're running through the four Gospels every 3 months. And you're walking with Jesus Christ. And you're actually focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a terrible battle with David and Ziklag, and the men were so discouraged, they were ready to stone David. And it says this about David before he became a king. It says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, granted, there are some times that you and I are trying to be a comfort to others and try to encourage them through things. But real comfort only comes from the Lord. That's the best source of comfort, from the Spirit of God himself. David was a great psalmist who had good music around him. That music would repel unclean spirits, and that music would draw the Spirit of God. And you and I are constantly around through your day music that is attracting unclean spirits, and these spirits are constantly putting pressure on us. And it causes a person to be faint-hearted. So we look to Jesus Christ. We focus on Him. We look forward to the day when Jesus Christ becomes a king on earth. And we think about what Jesus Christ has done. And we get our eyes off of our problems. Try to get them off of them. But I recognize if there's some big ones, then they're going to take our attention. But then we cry out to Jesus Christ. And even if it gets so bad where you can't even verbalize the words, just a groan's good enough, then the Spirit of God takes over. Okay, so the choice is fainting or prayer, fainting or spending time in a book, fainting or focusing on Jesus Christ. Okay, one more place, if you would, look in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. There's a battle going on. David is in the battle. David is obviously getting worn out from the battle. 2 Samuel 21, 15. And this giant is about ready to kill him. He's so faint-hearted, he can't even fight the battle just strictly by himself. 2 Samuel 21, 15. It says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel." Had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And look at that name, Ishbibenob. 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 Mr. Ishbibenob. And that guy, what a name. That's about like Ledesha down south. I saw this girl's name was L-E-A. Somebody asked him, "Well, what's that name? How do you pronounce that? Leah?" No, Ledesha. The dash be not silent. That was a name down south. I mean, not as bad as a fellow I knew out in Colorado whose name was Rusty Fender. So that was his real name, Rusty Fender. So Ishbibenob, boy, you can get a song out of that one, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Verse 15, he's faint, he's tired. And then it says, "And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, assisted him." That's that word, "and smote the Philistine and killed him." And here's the fourth thing on faint-heartedness. It's a failure to be around God's people. Now, officially, we got 3 services a week, and I don't say a whole lot about him. But we got these things, and granted, I know people work and all that stuff. But there is just something about being around God's people that... Now, if there's a critical person, then I wouldn't be around that one. Okay? And so, if Abishai wasn't there, available, David probably would have got killed in that battle. And it upset the fellows so much that they said to David, "You ain't going out anymore. That's it. No more for you." And you think, the thing is to be around God's people, hopefully that... God's people in a church aren't the type that kicks a guy when he's down, or it's like, "Well, I told you it's going to be that way." Hopefully it's words of encouragement to someone who's going through a tough time. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 is the famous verse using, "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together." But that technically is a tribulation passage, but the idea is still, the principle is still there in that you're an encouragement to others. You know one thing they never teach in football? I doubt the coach ever says this. "Fellas, you have to go to the huddle. It's required for you to go to the huddle." I doubt a coach ever says that. It's just understood. Now, they might adjust the huddle, what it was supposed to look like. But I doubt that to some kids over there, you know, on a 20-yard line and a ball's on a 30-yard line, he's just looking out. And then a place called, oh, why didn't anybody tell me? Ding dong. See, why is it that, you know, a lot of Baptist, here's Baptist message. Most Baptist churches is church, tithing, and soul winning. And the soul winning is designed to get more in church to help the tithing because a lot of them are in debt. They're trying to keep it going. But in football, they don't tell the kid, you have to go to the huddle. If you don't go to the huddle, it is understood. There's just something about being around the people of God that is encouraging, that helps. A lot of times a person may say, I don't feel like going, but yet when you go, then afterward, well, I'm glad I did that. Why is that true? It's because God gives the peace after we follow His orders. Okay, some of you, how many of you heard the gospel on several occasions, and then you shunned it, and then you got saved, and when you got saved, then you said, why didn't I do that long ago? The reason why is, great peace have they which love thy law. You see, if we don't love the law, we don't get the peace. If we don't pray and beg God, then we don't get the peace. It's like God gives that peace as a byproduct of obeying. And that's where the joy comes in. It's like the Lord wanted you to do something and you repelled it. And then when you do it, man, I'm so glad I did that. Why? It's because the joy and the peace both come after the fact. And so the choice really is praying or fainting, the Word of God or fainting, taking our eyes off of Jesus Christ and putting on ourselves, which will cause anybody to faint. Okay? And then a failure to be around people that are uplifting or encouraging to you. Now, granted, I know the Bible is a reproof and a rebuke, but I'd rather hear the rebuke of the wise than listen to the song of fools any day. And so the choice is to choose not to faint. Choose not to faint. Because the pressure is going to continue, and it ain't stopping until the Lord Jesus Christ calls us out of here. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you until we hear that shout out of here. And Lord, the sooner the better. But Lord, until then, help us to be faithful to thee. Help us to realize that our part, we got to do our part. Pray. Our personal time in the Word. We got to get our eyes off of ourselves, look at others, or more so look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And be able to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ in others when they do right. And Lord, help us to get around the right people. Like David said, my companions are them that fear thee. Help us recognize that the importance of being around God-fearing people. People that love you. People that are faithful to you. And Lord, help us recognize that life is meant to be a struggle. The Christian life also. More pressure put on by the world. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano will play. If you need the altar, it's open. Maybe things are going fine. That's good. That's wonderful. But some going through some difficult times. And so, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And when we get in these difficult times, realize that if we try to get away from the pressure, often we get in bigger trouble. A lot of times what the world does, what worldly people do, is they try to get away from their problems by getting drunk, which causes more problems. It helps us realize that we have a God in heaven that has placed us in His love as at the moment we got saved. And we can rest in that love. Lord, thank you for the great promises of your word, and there's a constant pressure that's put on your children, and I pray and ask that you'd help us to focus upon thee first and foremost, and to pray and get in your word and be around people that love you, that are an encouragement, that want to encourage us and challenge us and exhort us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.